Hey, celebrate and rejoice. It's Rob Nichols and friends on Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast. Not to be confused with Fly Me to the Moon, the song.
Well, on a week in which the Transporter Bridge, of course, the famous landmark of Middlesbrough, without which, of course, it's a bit like Paris without the Eiffel Tower, has often been said, that's been faced with catastrophic collapse. Is the same thing happening to Middlesbrough? Hopefully that's not going to be the case with Middlesbrough Football Club, even though Morgan Rogers has gone. Well, he spent 6 months with us. And of course, there was a thing that took place at Stamford Bridge, which frankly, I think people are still shell-shocked from. Rob Nichols, welcome back to your show. We've got Sean Rye, we've got Thomas Bartley, we've got Jenny, of course, in Ireland, Jenny Finch. Was it a Transporter Bridge catastrophic collapse at Chelsea, or was it just a case of, well, unfortunately, they decided to actually turn it on against Middlesbrough as opposed to doing the job against Liverpool, which, of course, I would have been a lot happier if they'd done.
Wish they had. They do seem to be a one-on, one-off sort of a team, don't they? I think, it was so sad, really. We started... First 15 minutes, we had hope, didn't we? We were resisting. And then once the first goal went in, the floodgates opened. And it was even worse than the game that we talked about, the Manchester City semi-final from 1976, when we were defending a 1-0 lead and lost 4-1 on aggregate in the end. So, yeah. And of course, as you said, Morgan Rogers was the player that scored the goal. And Morgan Rogers is the guy that's exited the club for Aston Villa. Which again is a real shame because he was just starting to develop. He's had several loan spells before from Manchester City, but you just felt he was starting to show real promise and what he could do. Obviously Villa were really determined to have him, and we just couldn't turn it down really because it was he only cost just £1 million in the summer. We had to take it. But we've not been able to replace him at the last minute, and it leaves us a bit short up front, especially going into this Tees Weir derby.
Yeah. And Callum Kavanagh has also left, even though Callum never quite managed to reach the same kind of heights in the first team as he did in the earlier junior teams, etc. Sean Rye. Is it a case of, well, we're still only 4 points away from the playoffs, and if we could actually beat Sunderland 6-0 tomorrow, all will be well?
Yeah, I think it's a difficult one. I mean, we seem to be saying it, as Rob alluded to, that every week or every other week we beat the likes of Leicester. You know, we beat Sunderland 4-0 earlier in the season, and then we slip up against the likes of Rotherham and Bristol City, and that just seems to be the pattern for the season. I do hope now, it's easy to say in retrospect, but if we can sharpen our focus on the league now, if we can get a settled team and particularly a settled back four, and go on a really good run for the rest of the season. But those positions, there's not really... It's okay saying we're only 4 points off the playoffs, but we're essentially... There's a bunch of teams playing for maybe two places now, I think, when you look at the likes of Leeds, Southampton, Leicester, Ipswich. You've got teams like Hull that have done really good business, Coventry, who seem to have our number every time we play them. So, yeah, it's going to be difficult. I just hope we have a period of sort of settled... bit of consistency, really.
Jenny Finch, welcome back to Fly Me to the Moon. Good to obviously connect. When last we spoke, of course, there was a lot of confidence, a lot of possibilities, a lot of hopeful anticipation. Were you surprised in the end? Right, obviously, the loss against Aston Villa, which was obviously 1-0 in the FA Cup, but then the Chelsea catastrophe.
I was surprised it was as bad as it was. You know, it was, what, 6-2 in the end on aggregate. And I think Chelsea just felt they had a point to prove. It does bode ill if they did manage to snatch promotion this year, because at the moment, most of the people that are performing seem to be loan people. And there isn't a sort of solid, settled, real Middlesbrough base. Last year, we were relying very highly on loan players. This year, we're relying very heavily on loan players. And we need our own players, I think, if we're going to not just yo-yo between the Premiership and the Championship again.
or indeed have to endure, as Chris Bartley's saying in terms of his current return to Sheffield United, referees effectively, or assistant referees, eating sandwiches and disrespecting him as opposed to listening to what he's saying. Still, that's another lines.
Absolutely.
Yeah. On the plus factor, Thomas, Finn Azaz, of course, a man on whose shoulders quite a lot probably now begins to rest, is also getting a lot of praise for the fact that before he actually moved to Middlesbrough, he helped support patients through their end-of-life care at St Luke's Hospital in or St Luke's Hospice in Plymouth. So at least he's a kind soul. Hopefully he's a scorer as well.
Yeah, it's. I didn't know about that. That's very good to hear that that obviously players are involved in their local communities. Should say as well, somebody that left as well as Kavanagh at the end of January was Bryant Belongo, who I think has been quite unfortunate. A friend of mine played youth football with him, so we would quite often catch up about how he was doing at Middlesbrough. And I think he's been quite patient, sat on the bench for a lot of games this season. And I think the only minutes that he's got in for the first team was against Barnsley, which was a match very early on last season in the League Cup, which we lost. So you know, not a great memory from his time in the Borough shirt so far. So hopefully at Ebbsfleet he can gain a bit of experience. But yeah, I think Azaz is a strong signing. I mean, you know, I would agree with Rob that we're left a little bit thin now because of the Rodgers departure. But you know, I think that. That last season, we weren't sure about how some of the January transfers were going to click, and in the end, it worked quite well for us. And so I think we just have to hope that it's a similar situation again, really.
Of course, good news, Chris Bartley, is that we don't just have one Luke, we have two Lukes. So we can look both ways, or Luke both ways, with Luke Thomas and Luke Ayling. Does that fill you with hope that actually, now that Luke Ayling will be back, there's no chance that somebody even going to get one goal past us, let alone, you know, any more than that?
Absolutely. I think it's two players at the kind of opposite end of the spectrum, really. Luke Ayling has got so much experience, and I know the Leeds fans speak very highly of him and his commitment to the cause and his attitude and everything. And then Luke Thomas looks about 11 years old on some of the pictures that he's featured with Michael Carrick. So and he's but actually, surprisingly, he's got quite a lot of experience as well. I think he played for Leicester in their FA Cup final the other season, the one that was just after COVID when they had like a limited capacity at Wembley. So he's got a lot of experience too. So I think it's two really good signings, all told.
Rob, are you encouraged by that? I mean, obviously we've talked about the departures, but we can't look backwards. We need to look forwards. Do you feel that certainly in the case of Ayling and probably Thomas, you are going to see players who will be able to shore up what up until relatively recently has been an okay defence, but not a tremendous defence?
Yeah, they do bring a lot of experience, and as Chris said, with especially Luke Thomas, he brings the youth and experience, which is somebody who's really sort of motivated to make a mark. And we've already seen with Luke Ayling, I think he was a surprise signing that we could actually get somebody like that. But it's been a real problem position for us, the right back, just because of so many injuries, and long-term injuries there. So it gives a bit of stability and yeah, brings sort of a couple of pivotal players in that defence, but players that can also that are very good at attacking. And I think we've got possibly Isaiah Jones is still out for a few weeks. So I think there's going to be a lot of dependency on those fullbacks getting forward and providing the service into the box. So it's really important that you've got two players that know what they're doing going forward, but know how to get back as well and defend.
I don't know what Jimmy Flynn was actually thinking when he actually came up with his latest offering for, of course, the Fly Me to the Moon pod zine, and indeed a podcast, and indeed a fanzine. But Rob, we're going to have to be brave and actually work our way through this particular thing. Hopefully you're ready for this Borough versus Chelsea enmity. I see what you actually did there. But I promise that after we finish this, We will not mention the Stamford Bridge people again in this particular podcast. I think it's important that we actually maintain that. So are you ready, Rob, to take it away?
I was dreading this actually, Alex, because I had to do it an 8.5 size font because he'd written quite a long and a long thing, and I thought we're going to read this out, and this is really going to test my eyesight. This.
It's almost like Ulysses, you know. It's like James Joyce is writing the whole solar system again. However, never mind. Be
Yeah.
brave. Off we go.
Okay. Right. Borough v Chelsea enmity. Borough v Chelsea fixtures are marred with seemingly mindless enmity, and there are historical reasons why this continues to be.
Reasons which now stretch for decades through the footballing years, defying logic and attempts at mutual repair.
Chelsea are football aristocrats from London town who view the rest of football with a disdainful frown.
Playing in a striking strip of royal blue, the list of their past stars reads like a football who's who.
Some of the greatest stars in the game, each one a famous football name.
Who in Chelsea's colours achieved lasting fame? Braybrook, Bentley, Lawton, Blunston, Greaves.
Layering Stamford Bridge like golden autumn leaves. Tambling, Osgood, Venables, Wilkins, Benetti.
Covering the pitch like magical football confetti, stars from the days when football was played in a different way.
To the money-driven way of the present day, when opposing fans could watch games side by side.
And did not scream, curse, fight, and deride. Now, between Borough and Chelsea fans, there is enmity.
A palpable hatred that is sad to see, a division that stretches back to 1988.
When triumphant Borough condemned Chelsea to football's second flight, crowd violence erupted in London that fateful day.
And sparked ill feeling that has not lessened along the way. The clubs have contested three cup finals in the intervening time.
And over Borough, Chelsea have held the Indian sign. Chelsea have been a giant on the field of play.
That relative minnows Borough as you as yet cannot slay. Can't say it because I don't want to say it. Chelsea have been a giant on the field of play. Oh, sorry.
Relative minutes, Borough as yet cannot slay. The current Chelsea team,
Yeah.
fueled by financial might, have reached a previously unscaled football height.
A multi-talented million rubles team that has delivered every supporter's wildest dream.
European and global opposition, they have swept aside and worn the crown of double champions with London pride.
So this was the size of Borough's latest monumental task, as in the League Cup semi-final of Chelsea, they had questions to ask.
Sadly, for a Burton side weakened by widespread injury, a bridge too far, Stamford Bridge proved to be. Yes, well, again,
Bridge too
not
far for me
quite
as
his
well,
finest series of rhymes, I feel. I mean, confetti and
Alex.
Benetti, you know, that was a fairly cliched
I like
one,
that.
but
It's good, that.
yeah. Jenny, your thoughts on the literary line of our poet Jimmy Flynn?
He's got an awful lot into one poem, I
Yeah.
think. And as you say, he did stretch the rhymes a little. I would have liked to see a little more rhythm in it because often poetry, you can get away with the rhymes not being quite so sharp if you've got a nice beat to it. But it was a very ambitious and a very
Yeah.
interesting read.
Anyway, well done, Jimmy, as ever. Okay, let's talk the demise of Mr. Beale, which hopefully we can hasten tomorrow, because let's face it, Mr. Beale has not gone down too well, pretty much as well as Mr. Bean would have gone down when taking over from Tony Mowbray up at Sunderland. Sean, 4-0 earlier in the season, of course, away at Roker Park. Oh, ooh, did I say Roker Park? Obviously, Stadium of Light there. I was going back a century. So, do you feel as though this is one? I mean, I don't like the term must win, but actually, to be fair, it's pretty crucial for both sides, really.
I think so. I mean, as you mentioned there, Beale hasn't really gone down well with the Sunderland fan base, which I couldn't really resist a little dig in my piece there. But even though they beat Stoke, I think it was last week 3-1, you do feel like just round the corner, a defeat could have the fans upset again. It's not a club that's showing much harmony at the minute, which is obviously great for us. Because however many ups and downs we've had, I do feel like the fans are happy in the way that the club is going, and the management of the club. So yeah, I think they're there for the taking. I think they'll be smarting a little bit, obviously, from the first game, and they won't want it to be an embarrassment like it was at the Stadium of Light. But I do think if we start well, they might be nervous, and I can see another win coming.
Losing 4-0 to us, of course, then being beaten 3-0 by Newcastle United. It's not really looking well as far as Sunderland and the North East rivals are actually concerned. Chris, do you feel confident, or is it a case of we need to be very careful because, after all, they have got rid of the player who went on strike. He's now been restored to Tony Mowbray's hands at Birmingham City. Maybe they'll actually sort of cause us more challenges than they did.
I feel fairly confident. I mean, our home form of late has been slightly worrying because I think we've only won one in the last five. But I think the break after the Chelsea defeat, I think, came at the right time, really, because I think we were struggling a little bit with some injuries, and I sensed that some of the people who were playing mightn't have been fully 100%. So I think I do feel confident, really, and I think it's after a defeat like that, you want a really big game, I think, to sort of drive you on and get the fans on side. And there's nothing really bigger than a game against Sunderland, like a local derby, really. So I think if the fans can get behind them, like the Chelsea game as well, I think anything's possible, really.
Did of course refer to the Chelsea and Rotherham games as being warm-ups for the Sunderland match. But Thomas, as a keen disciple of the Gaston Ramirez principle, if they want to go, let them go. Do you feel as though Borough will brush ourselves down and get on with things and actually it'll be a fairly safe and secure victory?
Yes, well, I mean, it would be nice to add to Sunderland's accumulating woes. Also, to not forget that on the 13th of February, the third and final series of Sunderland Till I Die, the Netflix documentary is coming out, so it may not be a good time for the fan base if they continue to experience defeats and then also have those interesting times to relive. Although I think actually this might be a more positive series compared to the first two, but we'll see.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it would definitely be nice to get another win. I mean, we've had a pretty good record against them lately, and as Rob says in the editorial as well, I mean, they haven't typically done very well at the Riverside either. So it would be great to get a good result against Sunderland on Saturday, and I think would definitely banish all those experiences from the nameless match from a few days ago.
Okay, Jenny. So a couple. I mean, we talk about Sunderland, of course, but it's literally followed up 6 days later by a fixture at home again at Riverside against Bristol City, and then the Valentine's Day game against Preston North End on the following Wednesday. So, what are your thoughts on Borough Sunderland, Jenny?
I think you're right. I think Sunderland are there for the taking. They're very wobbly. And if Middlesbrough do beat them, they're going to be on the same number of points. Worse goal average, yeah, but they're going to be also with one game in hand. And I think that's going to boost people a lot. I think Sunderland are going to come down there, gritting their teeth, determined they'll do something. And I think they're going to slip up. I would love to see them win.
I mean, they might decide that they've had enough of Mr. Beale as well, and Borough have got a bit of a track record when it comes to actually dealing with managers in the last game. What's the general feeling, Rob, from the press conference? Have you been there? I'm not sure whether we're going to have any of the press conference clips, etc., for today, but is it general confidence, or is it a case of, well, we look at February, Sunderland, Bristol City, Preston North End, away to Leicester City, and then home to Plymouth Argyle? Not the easiest of months, but obviously a
No.
very critical month. If results go the right way.
Yeah. He doesn't give much away, Michael Carrick, obviously. I did ask him about whether, now was the time we were gonna, sort of push on towards the playoffs. And that's what he's obviously hoping to do. That I suppose I'm slightly concerned that we've got Latilathe's out for several weeks still. Josh Coburn is your one main centre forward, and he's not 100% fit. He's having to be nursed along. He should be all right for Sunday, but that's not kind of ideal to have one player. I'm imagining like Matty Crooks is going to have to play up front quite a bit, and Marcus Force. Oh, the good thing, I mean, that is a real positive, Marcus Force coming back to fitness because he finds the net. So, but he does seem to like to. In a Mo Salah way, he seems to like to find his way to the net from the right. But I suppose we can just adjust to that, can't we? And as I mentioned, also Isaiah Jones being out is a real blow. But I think there's quiet confidence that, and I think he was trying to downplay the Sunderland game as much as possible, not going out of his way to call it a derby or anything like that. But I think it recognises that. As has been said already, that it is a good way to bounce back, isn't it? A good way to bounce back from that defeat, and it's going to be another full house, and I believe that it's going to be exactly the same as it has been as it was for the first Chelsea game, where the PA announcer is going to step back and allow the Middlesbrough crowd to set the atmosphere, to lead the chanting and everything. That's what I've been told. So. It's up to us to sort of rise to the occasion, and that can be a little bit difficult, can't it, at noon on a Sunday, but that's what we've got to do.
Time to banish the hangover and complete the Derby double, as you would say, Sean, in your piece for Fly Me to the Moon. Again, concluding, once Riley McGree comes back, Borough could have a very strong 11 to 15 players available, who, if they stay fit, can offer some stability to the starting lineup, amount of serious assault for the playoffs. Do you feel, I mean, given that obviously Howson, O'Brien, Ayling, etc., are there, that actually this is going to be a relatively straightforward success for Borough?
I'd steer away from routine because I think the last time I've probably said that kind of phrase or used that turn of phrase, it was probably against a Rotherham that, gave us all sorts of headaches. But yeah, I just think if we can get a settled team, obviously we've still got a few weeks until we get the likes of McGree back, and as Rob alluded to, getting Isaiah Jones. The frustrating thing with Jones is that probably the fact that we didn't sign a striker in the window wouldn't have been such a headache had we still had Jones fit. We could maybe then move Force into the middle, but such is the way it's going for us this season, it's probably likely that we're going to have to keep Force on the right until Jones comes back. But yeah, I think if we can get our teeth into Sunderland, it'll kick us off onto what would hopefully be a good run of games and get some wins on the road and get some momentum going. I think Chris had mentioned in his piece that this time last year is when we really started to kick into gear, and I think sort of culminated in that 3-1 win against Sheffield United, where people actually started to think, we could actually catch them and get that automatic spot. So we had a real purple patch last season. Hopefully we can get something going like that again this season.
And Alex, just to live as we're doing this, that there might be some good news for Middlesbrough fans, because as it stands in extra time, Australia are losing 2-1 to South Korea, and I've just had a man sent off. So it's not good for them, but it could be that Riley McGree and Sammy Silvera are on the way back very soon. Maybe not quite in time for the Sunderland game, but.
Either way, Rob, they'll be blazing a trail, which brings us neatly round to the centre spread in the Fly Me to the Moon fanzine, of course. Saltburn, Fishburne, Ashington, Fly Me to the Moon, Stonemasons, Chicken Curry outside the Riverside Stadium. Share with us, Rob, what's this all about?
Yes, it's a friend of mine from Paisley, friends, and they were Mick Hyde's and his wife Connie, and basically they wanted to do Mick does a little bit of writing about football in the lower leagues in Scotland, and he was travelling down here to visit the Victorian tramway before it was hit by that fire, and he decided to do a park run, or he decided to elect a park run for his wife to do, which is a really tough one, at Marshall Drive, Broughton, and it was the day after Middlesbrough had been at Huddersfield, so I didn't quite get to the park run. But he ran that park run, and he managed to link it all together with running with somebody else who was a Borough fan and used to buy Fly Me to the Moon off me. It's the links are quite contrived, but they work, I think.
You say that, Rob, but given that one of the paragraphs starts with the line, "We drive to Saltburn, coffee in the town centre is welcome and delicious." I mean, given, Jenny, that you used to actually be based in Saltburn, you must be sort of very impressed with the fact that Saltburn still makes the centre spread of Fly Me to the Moon, the fanzine.
I really am. And my only question is, why not every month?
Yeah,
But
back
we'll
in the
ask that to
day.
Mick. Yeah.
Yeah, a whole range of things there. Okay, let's progress onwards then. In terms of the prediction side of things, there, Jenny, we'll start off with yourself. What's your prediction for Borough versus Sunderland?
3-1 to Borough.
Yeah, I think
Ooh.
that's a fairly reasonable, positive one, Thomas.
I think I'm going to go for 3-1 as well.
3-1, Sean.
I'm going to go 2-0. I'm going to be positive in the hope that we start getting some clean sheets.
Okay. And Chris?
I'm going for 2-1 to Borough.
Yeah. And Rob, are you going 3-1 or 2-0? Or
Yeah,
something different?
I'll go with Sean's 2-0. Yeah.
Yeah. And given 6 days later, we're back to the strangely anomalous 3 p.m. kickoff on a Saturday afternoon. At the Riverside against Bristol City, a side who very, very nearly actually created a cup upset recently in terms of the game against Forest. What are our thoughts there, Jenny?
I'm going to do another Borough win, but 2-1 this time.
Thomas?
I think a 1-0 win for Bristol City. Yeah, for us against Bristol City. That's the second time I've said that
And Chris.
I'm going for a 3-0 now that I
Whoa.
know Australia are just on the way out of the competition, and Sammy Silvera and McGree will be winging the way back to the Riverside. So I feel a little bit more positive about that one.
Sean.
Yeah, I'm with Thomas. I think it might be one of them where we're knocking on the door for a long time, but it's going to be a late Coburn winner, I think.
And Rob, that basically means two wins back to back, 6 points. The dream is alive again.
Yeah, if we can, 2-1, but we have got a terrible record against Bristol City, home and away for that matter, so we need to put it right.
One potential annoyance Borough fans should see about Finn Aziz is that he is at times culpable of taking a few too many touches in and around the 18-yard box. But all in all, this is a signing that may have us saying, "Morgan who?" Dana Malt, of course, her thoughts in terms of Finn Aziz. Do you feel that he could well be a hidden gem, Rob? I mean, is this somebody who, literally, I mean, we've talked about Morgan obviously going on his way and so on, but is this somebody where you tend to think that actually, yeah, to be fair, there's a real winner that could actually sort things through, and Dana could be spot on?
Yeah, well, we've already seen what he can do, what damage he can do, because he's got a pile driver against us for Plymouth, and he was something of a star for Plymouth, so he knows this league very well. We're settling him in bit by bit, and he was obviously brought in to play in the same area as Morgan Rogers. So yeah, I think he can really develop and really put down roots here, and I think we can be really positive. It's a really good signing.
Chris, of course, you conclude your piece with the prospect of 6 points in 7 days would get our playoff campaign well and truly back on track and banish those blues. In general, are you feeling fairly optimistic? Is it a case of, yeah, February's turned, the sun is shining, we might have a bit of snow to come, but all's well with the world?
Yeah, I think historically, February and March has always been quite, quite a profitable thing for Middlesbrough in terms of form. So, I mean, obviously, last season's would be it'd be absolutely amazing if we could hit anything like the sort of form we managed to do then. But yeah, so I do feel positive, and I think hopefully we're nearing the end of this like kind of period where we've had. injuries, we've had absentees through international duty. So it's hopefully we're just edging towards that thing where we'll have most people available and we just have a, you know, a good go at getting in the playoffs. I know the top four positions have kind of really gone now. So I think the battle is all about getting the fifth or sixth playoff place. So I just hopefully we can hit form at the right time.
Jenny, earlier today I was speaking to Ugo Monier, a former England winger from the rugby scenario, and he is obviously sort of keen to actually promote rugby. The Six Nations Championship is with us. You'll presumably be following that through. Astonishingly, Ugo actually fell into apoplexies of laughter when I said, "One day I feel Italy will win the Six Nations Championship." Do you feel a similar sort of thing from that point of view, or do you feel that actually, you know, no, there's a much better chance of actually Barra getting 6 points in the next couple of days?
I think Borough have got a better chance, but Italy are, they lack consistency, but they are getting to be a much better team and they're developing some much better younger players. The problem they've got is they have virtually no domestic game. So everybody has to go and play in little tiny leagues or go off and play abroad. But if they can build a domestic game, I think they play with a lot of flair and they have some beasts of runners. I would love to see them turn over at least two of the teams in the Six Nations this year.
Yeah, there we are, you see. We might indeed run that interview if we have a bit of space later on. He was also, I mean, sadly, he's an Arsenal supporter and also was amused when I defined him as basically being the Bukayo Saka of the England fly half, etc. Apparently, wingers have it easy, but still, there we are. Okay, Rob, how can people actually subscribe or access previous back issues of this memorable season's Fly Me to the Moon, the magazine?
Well, I'm not sure about accessing previous back issues just because I've got to admit I hadn't realised that the post had gone up quite as much as it has. I haven't been buying any first class stamps and suddenly realised. But yes, you can subscribe for the last three issues of the season, and yeah, you could still get them all, I suppose. We're just about break even. If you go to the Fly Me to the Moon website, fmtcmborough.com, and click on subscribe, there's some details there. And Alex, can we also say it's Green Football Weekend this weekend, right across football, where football fans and football clubs and media and the different leagues are all uniting to try and do our little bit for to cut down the carbon footprint and to think about the green future. And one of the ways is through our stomachs. And this year, that you'll probably see stuff in the media where there's various footballers preparing vegetarian food or eating vegetarian food. At Middlesbrough, they've got vegetarian offers on. And also, what else are we doing? Oh, there's a We're appealing for people. If you've got like old remotes or old mobile phones or small electrical appliances that are just lying around, then if you bring them to the stadium before the match, there's two collection points at the fan zone and behind the north stand where they'll be taken in and somebody will recycle them. So I think everyone's got like TV remotes knocking around, haven't they? So trying to do different things like that and trying to launch something through this weekend that can build on for the future, like green paths to the stadium, planting trees, allotments, things that actually fans can get involved in and think about. Because obviously the riverside is you've got the bridge behind you in your picture and the transporter bridge which you were talking about, and we are very close to the transporter bridge at the riverside, very close to the dock, very close to the river. So we will know all about it if the sea level rises, because the riverside will get it first.
Well, going from the story in the Gazette, which suggested that it was literally days away from catastrophic collapse and an exclusion zone being put up together, I was wondering whether it's still be standing. But, you know, who knows? Maybe they can actually just rescue that, or maybe we'll just go bankrupt. It's fun times in the 21st century. Of course, you can see articles and read articles by Sean, Chris, and Thomas in the latest edition of Fly Me to the Moon. We've just teased you with some of the sort of happenstances from that as well. Jenny, any final thoughts? Any closing thoughts from yourself?
No, fingers crossed for the next few matches. And one of the green things I might suggest is how about a big cycle park like they have in Holland and encourage fans to cycle if they can to the matches at home?
Yeah,
Just
we're
a thought.
publicising at the around this game that there are cycle racks behind two of the stands, because I think, yeah, because people don't know where they can actually park their bike when they go to the stadium. So, and I think the idea it could be that, that a green route around the river would be people can cycle around the River Tees to the stadium. Or, yeah,
That's a great
but.
idea. Yeah.
Yeah, that the cycle park sounds fantastic, and it is a real weakness, and also encouraging people to car share. You know, look
Yeah.
out, try and find out if there's somebody coming from the same sort of neck of the woods as you. But you know, you can't tell people to use public transport because it's not very good around where we live. That's
Yeah.
a problem, and not very well connected up. So, and it's very expensive. So it's just looking at other ways to do that.
When it comes to decisions, do you buy the first class stamp or do you get the bus ticket? It's very difficult these days, but
Yeah.
never mind. Okay, it's time for you, Rob, to lead us in the usual seven simple words to hopefully lead to success. After three, one, two, three.
On, Bora.
Come on, Barry.
Bora.
Go,
Bora.
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 You've had a bit of a break, Michael. How's that been? Have you spent it? Have you spent it with the team?
Yeah, it's been good actually. We boys had a couple of days off over the weekend, and it's actually probably a good time to take a bit of a rest and a deep breath and freshen up a little bit, minds and bodies, and come back really well actually. Trained really, really well since we've come back. There's a bit of a spark and a freshness about them, which is good. Squad stronger and boys coming back in and around it. So yeah, the boys are in a good place.
You've lost a couple of strikers in Kavanagh and obviously Morgan Rogers as well. How does that affect you going forward? Young Roy went in to replace them, so what does that mean for the team?
Finn was obviously brought in, so that made us stronger going into that. And in effect, Morgan is a like in many ways is a like for like. So Cav obviously being a younger player, it's you know, some younger players come through and are able to kind of get through into the first team and have a career. And other times it's about making a career somewhere else. So we wish. Certainly wish Cav all the best from everyone at the club. It was nice to get for me personally to get him on the pitch and for him to have that experience, and now he's gone on to the development and something new. And Morgan, you know, it was one of them. It's everything's is you take it as a one-off situation, and every transfer is different. It was one of those that it kind of fit for everyone in the end, really. So it is what it is, you know, mixed feelings in a way, because we look forward to kind of potential and development Morgan, but at the same time realistic to understand the situation for what it was. So but in terms of the squad, we're strong, you know, we got good options, we got boys coming back fit, and we're looking forward to the games coming up.
Sounds like you would have liked to have kept Rogers, but for the club, just good business, right? He came for 1 million and he's gone for a lot more.
Yeah, of course, and you've got to be realistic for sure, and for Morgan as well. You know, he's a Birmingham lad, and not sure exactly where they are, second, third, fourth in the Premier League. It's a massive opportunity for him, and we understand that. I'm not saying that'll happen with everyone, and it's not a policy of the club by any stretch. But I think you've got to take everything as on an individual basis, and that certainly was kind of right in the end for everyone, even though we would love to have kept him and worked with him and seen how good he could become. But sometimes that's football, you know, we move on just as Morgan will. But certainly, again, we wish him all the very best. I hope he fulfills all the potential that he's got.
Into a derby on Sunday, what have you made of Sunderland since Michael Beale came in?
Yeah, we obviously know they've got good players, you know, talented, a lot of younger players. It's a hugely talented team, and you can see he's come in and tweaked a couple of things and changed a couple of things as you'd expect. But yeah, watch a number of games now. It was a big result for them last week, and they played really well. So yeah, we know what we're up against for sure. So it'll be a big test.
And I know you think, you know, every game's important, the next one's the most important. But with the position these two clubs are in, and with both looking to get promoted, this feels particularly key.
Yeah, in some ways, of course, it's. You know, there's an importance to it, without doubt. Key in terms of setting us up for the next little bit, give us a chance of getting 3 points. Yeah, of course, end up taking if we can take 3 points off them, just as they'll be looking to do the same with us. So there is that, you know, will in the end tell the whole story of the season? No, it's not going to be a make or break game in terms of the rest of the season, but it'll definitely give us a boost, and if we can put the right performance in and get the right result.
Thank you. So it's your first Riverside, how much are you looking forward to it?
Yeah, really looking forward to it. I obviously expect a terrific atmosphere. I think I look back to the support we had at Chelsea not so long ago. That feels a while ago already, but it wasn't that long ago. But the support was incredible, and you know, the reaction they give us at the end of the game after a defeat like that was pretty special. And you know, to bring that atmosphere and that level of support and noise, and for us to give them a little bit more to shout about would be the ideal scenario.
Obviously, it was massively disappointing against Chelsea, but kind of how much is that will spur you on sort of at the weekend and kind of first game back afterwards?
Honestly, I've kind of forgotten about it, really. I think the boys have moved on tremendously well from it. Made the most of the experience, you know, ups and downs, of course, and it didn't end the way we wanted, but it was the boys did tremendously well to put themselves in that position, and we just a little bit. Just fell short in the end, so that's how it is. But as I said, training, the boys went away and cleared their heads, freshened up the bodies. They've come back really, really sharp and focused on looking forward, really, and excited by the potential that we've got in the group.
Obviously, it was 4-0 against Sunderland last time round. Do you reckon that'll have an impact on both teams on Sunday?
No, I don't. I think these games tend to be one-offs. You know, I think they tend to be. There's not much you can rely on going into the game, which will give you the storyline of what's going to happen. It's all about what happens, who gets up out of bed early enough and prepares well enough to for the early kickoff. So yeah, we won't be looking too much into what's happened in the past. It's all about Sunday.
And just to kind of touch on the Edwards transfer deadline day yesterday, how do you kind of feel about the squad now that you're going to be working with for the rest of the season?
Yeah, I think we've got a really good strong squad. I think we're balanced pretty well with the additions that we brought in. I think that was important for us, and covered in pretty much every position. Yeah, of course we want the boys back who are carrying niggles and injuries at the moment. We do that, then we'll be even stronger. But as it stands, I think I felt that in training over the last week, that the squad is definitely getting stronger, in a good place. So a good mix of experience and seniority, as well as youth and talent, if you like, potential talent. So yeah, happy. See what we can do.
How's Manu?
He's a little bit away, yeah.
On that, kind of in general, how will, is it long term? We're looking at months, or are you expecting him?
No, just a few weeks. Yeah, a few weeks. We'll be weeks rather than days.
And Josh, you know, it's an ongoing situation, but how's he doing? And is this break specifically done him good?
Yeah, I hope so. He's trained. We've had to manage him quite a bit over recent weeks, maybe even leading into months. So, yeah, that's part of the responsibility of us getting that right, really. So, and trying to kind of manage it and make the best of what he can do at the moment. So, but yeah, he's fine.
Obviously, without those, or with only Josh available, there was a lot of attention on whether you bring a centre forward in the final days of the window. Do you feel like you've got enough goals in the squad? Because those behind, Marcus, Isaiah, Riley, Sam, they've all chipped in this season, haven't they, with more than a fair few?
Yeah, for sure. I think when you look at it, yeah, we've got obviously Riley and Sammy away at the moment. Manu's, you know, not massively far away. So I said to you before about buying players for the sake of a few weeks is not always the answer. For us, bringing players into the group, it's vital. They've got to be, they've got to improve you. They've got to be the right ones for different reasons. So it's not a case of just bringing someone in just to have a stopgap or fill in the slot. They have to really improve us, and there has to be a really good reason for that. And so we feel that the players that we have brought in, we're happy with, really happy with, and for good reason they're here, and we've seen that already. But certainly in forward areas, you know, we're flexible. Boys can play across the forward line. We can mix it up a little bit in terms of positioning, which is good for us. And we certainly feel like there's enough goals throughout the team to make a difference.
How's Izzy?
Izzy's a little bit further off. he's a few weeks in.
And Senny, I know I'm not going to go through everyone, but Senny, we haven't spoken about in a while. What's his situation?
How's he doing? Senny's close, yeah. He's kind of just getting back to training. So, funny in a way, you know, he was due to go away anyway, and then he ended up getting injured. So he's probably wouldn't have had him anyway, but he's getting back to training. So, you know, kind of easing back in some ways and make sure that he's ready and trains enough to be ready to play.
Does this feel like you've had this break? You talked there about the spark you've seen in training the last few days. There's clarity in the squad now the window's closed. Does this feel like almost like a fresh start for the final stretch?
Yeah, I think the season goes like that. I think there's chapters really, and almost little windows through the season, if you like, you know. And sometimes it's geared with international weeks or leading up to a certain period, and now for sure once that the windows close in January, it's that, you know, the cup competitions for us are done, then it's kind of really laser focus on what's ahead. We've got the squad, we're happy with it, boys are coming back fit and in a good place, so it is the next important chapter for us to get right.
Brilliant, thank you.
Since we last spoke to you, Michael, with the gap, obviously Luke Thomas came into the club as the third signing, and just speak a little about him and why you wanted to bring him to the club.
Yeah, of course, we're delighted to have Luke. I think he brings, for a younger player, he brings an awful lot of experience at top level, really. And when the opportunity came for us, it was an important one that we made the most of. You know, Alex being out for a good number of weeks, and it was important that we had cover and we had balance within the group. And he brings an awful lot of quality. So yeah, we're delighted to have him as with us for the rest of the season.
Yeah, on Alex, is that you see a good number of weeks? Is that looking like it's going to be towards the back end of the season? Is
probably,
it?
Yeah, it'd be another, hopefully not, but yeah, probably another 8 weeks or so, possibly.
Yeah, one player we spoke about towards the start of the month, who, you know, there were considerations about whether or not he might leave on loan, was Alex Gilbert. You've presumably decided to keep him for the rest of the season. Are you hoping he can push on from here and start to, you know, maybe challenge more for places in the team?
Yeah, without doubt. You know, that's as a younger player, that's the challenge, you know, of bridging that gap and making the jump, really. And a lot of that becomes from training and the performances down in training, and a little bit is timing and getting the opportunity and something opening up for you. So that's that kind of bracket in your career, really, is taking the next step. That's certainly the challenge for Alex, yeah. You know, obviously we're here to help him develop and try and create that opportunity for him, so it's a two-way thing.
Yeah, obviously when he joined in the summer from Brentford, he'd been part of their B team, and he made the point that he came here because he wanted to make that step up, he wanted to make that jump. And when he hasn't quite managed that yet in as many games as he would have presumably liked, how are you managing that on a day-to-day basis for him? How much are you talking to him and you're explaining things to him?
Yeah, of course we manage it. I think there's of course I've talked to all the players, and I like to think I've got a relationship with all the players at certain times. There's only so much talking you can do as well. For me, I think a lot of it comes from performances as well, you know. And as I said, training well, learning, development, improving, and then, you know, gaps or chances in the team at the right time. So yeah, we work with the players we feel quite closely in that, and at the right times to try and make the help them get the best out of them.
Just finally for me on the game, you mentioned there the fact it's an early kick-off. Does that dramatically change kind of the way you might have to prepare for a game when it is earlier than normal?
I think you've got to adapt, yeah, in terms of making a big deal of it. It's not a major deal, but I do think there's little things you need to do to adapt. It's very different playing at 12 o'clock to playing a night game on the same date, for instance, and the time you've got to prep and what you eat, what time you eat, how you sleep, all that sort of stuff. So there is a bit of a change, but ultimately once you're there and you're ready, and it's the same preparation, the same build-up for the game, and it's almost irrelevant when you're at the stadium what time of the day it is.
With the departure of Morgan, and you said about Andy Lath being injured, we're looking to get more goals from more places throughout the team.
I don't think it really changes, to be honest. It doesn't really change whoever plays. It's the same hope and expectations, you know. So I think you set out, yeah, of course, is the forward players you want them to contribute, and they tend to contribute the most, and we feel that we've got boys in them forward areas that are able to do that, and we've shared it out pretty well this year. Of course, we always want more goals, and we want be nice for someone to go on a run, and but I do think we've got the ability to share it around the squad.
And it's another massive game in a way. We've had one after the other, and you mentioned about the atmosphere at Stamford Bridge. Again, hopefully another great atmosphere. And do you think we can all rise to the occasion once again on Sunday?
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, I think certain games bring out the best in everyone, and certainly this is one of those. Like you say, we've had different types of games really since Christmas. You know, some big league games, some really big cup games, so we've had a bit of everything, and this is something slightly different again. So yeah, the boys will certainly be ready for it and looking forward to it. Expect the stadium and the supporters to be exactly the same.
And is everybody up for the challenge of now trying to make a real run for the playoffs? I suppose we saw Wembley taken away from us at Stamford Bridge, but is this another challenge to try and set ourselves?
Yeah, for sure, that's why we're here, you know. It's to see what we can achieve, you know, we're looking up the table to see what our performances can and how far they can get us, really, and stay day by day, as I keep saying, and take a step at a time. But sure, it's the goal is to climb up the table as quick as we can.
Thank you. Come on, Borough.
Come on, Borough.